Well, welcome, and add my welcome to Tom's welcome to you already. Thanks for joining us today. And we're on week three of our series, A Very Different Kind of Christmas. Now, this is the first Sunday of Advent, but we started a little bit early. But we're in the Christmas story, and we're looking at the characters of the story and the transformation that happened in their lives as they began to get involved in this story that God was writing at that particular time. Now, if I was to ask you to describe someone close to you with one word, I wonder what word you might come up with. Or if I was to ask you to describe yourself using one word, what word would you think of? Of course, in the pages of history, there are many people who are literally described by one word. And I can prove that this morning. If I said Ethelred to you, what word would come to mind? Well, Ethelred the Unready, of course, well done. Or William the Conqueror, of course. Or Richard the Lionheart. Or Winnie. Well, it's not fair to use his second name, but you know what I mean. There's one word. Or if someone who's known for the one thing. If I said Rosa Parks to you, would you know the one thing that she is known for? Or Diego Maradona, you know, that hand of God moment that he's known for? Or what about Los Del Rio? No? Well, they had one hit. The Macarena, of course. And I'll give you time later to get up in your, wherever you're watching this, and dance it just as an act of remembrance for them. But today I want to talk about Mary. The one thing, perhaps, that Mary is known for. The thing that led to a very different kind of Christmas for her all those years ago. The one thing that transformed the whole of history that we celebrate at this Christmas time. We've already seen in this series how God was still at work with Zechariah and Elizabeth while they were waiting with their sense of loss. Last week we looked at how Joseph moved from that place of fear at being told that Mary was going to have a child to that place of freedom as he began to see the bigger picture that God was going to use him for. So catch up with those first couple of weeks. But today, Mary. So we're going to just take a moment to listen to this story of Mary's encounter with the angel. And it's in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And we're going to hear as it's read to us from the Message. Right now.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descendant from David. His name was Joseph and the virgin's name Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you." She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, "Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great, be called Son of the Highest. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever. No end ever to his kingdom." Mary said to the angel, "But how? I've never slept with a man." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest hover over you. Therefore the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son? Old as she is, everyone called her barren, and here she is, 6 months pregnant. Nothing, you see, is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Yes, I see it now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say." Then the angel left her.
Well, it's a very fresh retelling of this story, and one that helps us to become part of this story as well. And so today I just want to think about some things that happened to Mary, things that could happen to us as well as we begin to encounter God in new ways. So the first thing I think that happened in that story and can happen for us is that God calms our trouble with his presence. An angel is dispatched to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. God is so specific about where he's going, who he wants to choose to do this amazing thing for him. God knows who he's choosing for his purposes. No one else would barely give a thought to Nazareth. In Jesus' ministry, they would say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But God had his eye on Mary, and God wanted, through this angel, to say to Mary, "Mary, you are highly favoured." Now, the word used there suggests favoured with grace. God extending his love and grace to this young girl, assuring her of his presence in that moment. And Luke says that Mary is greatly troubled. God's awareness of her needs bring out that reassurance in the next moment. The Lord is with you. In your trouble, Mary, in what you're feeling right now, the Lord is with you. He calms Mary's trouble with the assurance of his presence. Maybe you're feeling troubled right now, in turmoil, agitated, shifting back and forth between thoughts over something that's happening. Your emotions all stirred up by something that's going on. I'm guessing most of us have had our emotions stirred up, particularly over these last few months. But like Mary, God wants to assure us that he is with us. That's what the whole Christmas story is about, isn't it? Emmanuel, God is with us. Yet how easy we forget. We forget even his name, perhaps. And Mary moves from that place of feeling troubled to wondering. Now, that's another word that means going back and forth, trying to understand what has just happened. And Mary, of course, would have known all the stories from the past, from her people's history, God's presence with his people on the mountain, God's presence leading her ancestors through the wilderness, God's presence with prophets and priests and kings throughout their story. But God's presence with me, a young woman from Nazareth, it's sometimes difficult for us to understand the logic of God's choice. Yeah, when I moved to secondary school many years ago, I was, of course, the youngest group in that school. And, of course, being the youngest group, you often get picked on, of course. But the good news for me was my older brother was already at that school, 4 years older than me. My brother is with me. So whenever somebody picked on me, whenever I was in trouble, I wasn't afraid because he was with me. Before Mary found out about the baby, she was assured that the Lord is with you. Before that news entered her mind, the Lord was with her. It's the starting place for what God wanted to do next in her. And perhaps today you need to hear these words. Before you start getting agitated over what is going to happen next, the Lord is with you. Before you have to face anything, the Lord is with you. He calms us with his presence. And when we start there, confident in his presence, assured by his presence, then we can face anything. The Lord is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. There's a promise to you today. That's from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord is with you. If you're feeling troubled, he wants to calm you with his presence. Secondly, I think what we see in this story is that God builds our trust with his promise. Mary, by God's grace, by his favour, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, and he will be great. In Luke chapter 1, verse 32, you'll see this moment that the angel is announcing this is wrapped up in the past. Jesus will be given the throne of his father David. It's wrapped up in the present as well. Jesus will be called the Son of the Most High. And it also points to the future. Jesus will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? The promises of God that say to us, you can trust me in this moment. you can find that place to be confident in what God is going to do, because he builds his trust through his promises to you. And Mary responds, verse 34, how will this be? What a fair question. God, at the moment it doesn't seem possible. I'm a virgin. How will this be? In my opinion, you need to think again. You need to find somebody else to do this. I wonder how many times you may have thought that about something God has asked you to do. Somebody else can do it. How come you're choosing me, God? I'm not worth it. I can't do it. I'm not experienced enough. I'm not old enough. And we limit the possibilities that God sees. How can this be? But God sees us differently. He knows the end from the beginning. How can this be? Because God says it can be. I mentioned Rosa Parks at the beginning, the woman who was known for staying sat down when the bus driver in Montgomery, Alabama, had told her to move for a white person to come and sit down. But few maybe have heard of Claudette Colvin. See, 9 months before Rosa Parks was dragged off the bus, 15-year-old Claudette stayed sat down as well. Two police officers put her in handcuffs, dragged her off the bus, locked her up in an adult jail. But while she was in that prison, she prayed the Lord's Prayer and recited Psalm 23 over and over again. Finally bailed into the care of her pastor, the Reverend H.H. Johnson. He said to her, Claudette, I'm so proud of you. Everyone prays for freedom. We've all been praying and praying, but you're different. You want your answer right now. And I think you just brought the revolution to Montgomery. It takes courage and grit not to give up a seat. She must have felt completely alone. She must have felt, what can I do? I'm just a 15-year-old girl. But judging by what she prayed and what she recited in that prison, she knew she was not alone. The promises of that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. The promises of that psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, brought her reassurance and trust that she was confident because of God's promises. And God builds Mary's trust in this story. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary's move from I am a virgin in little insignificant Nazareth to I am the Lord's servant, ready to do whatever you ask, God. See, when we accept God's promises, we'll be ready to be used for his purposes. And once we're in that place to trust God, to believe what he thinks about us, to understand the role he wants us to play in his kingdom building plan, then we can be so assured of his presence that the angel went and left Mary to the next stage of her life. Will you move from your limitations to the possibilities, the fulfillment of what God wants to do? Let me be. Let it be to me, because I am the Lord's servant. But you see, I think there's another step. From trouble to trust. But also God brings transformation with his power. Christmas is punctuated with singing, isn't it? Zechariah sang, the angel sang, Simeon sang, and now Mary bursts out in song in verses 46 to 55. We know it as the Magnificat. A declaration that the previous boundaries are being pushed back and the previous limitations are being shaken. It's happened throughout history. It's happened in 2020 as well. It's something that starts small, often on the margins, and God is looking for people who will see it and join in with it as well. This is the transformation that God is moving us all towards. How can this be? I'm just... But God now, verse 46, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. That's a transformational declaration of God's power to use me, to use you, to change his world. You see, starting in that place of trust, begins to birth something brand new that will shake the whole earth. The Mighty One has done great things for me. His mercy extends from generation to generation. He has brought down rulers, filled the hungry. He will be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. Mary declares it. She sings it out with confidence because of what God can do. See, the work of God happens through the wonder of ordinary people. God, you can do this through me. And out of the seemingly small things that we say yes to every single day, the random acts of kindness, the prayers that we pray, the conversations we have, the way that we work, the way that we build God-honoring relationships and marriages, and the way we parent and manage our finances and act for justice for the poor and the oppressed, the marginalised and the downtrodden, through every small act, we catch the heartbeat of God and we get in step with what he is already doing. His power at work in and through us to bring transformation. How can it be? Well, God, let it be. Because you have acted and you look for us to respond. The biggest act of transformation is that God came as one of us. That God came to be one with us. That God came to fulfill his promises to us. That God came and calls us to join him in the transformation of our community, of our workplaces, of our families, of our nation. He took the initiative. He sent Jesus to do what we could never do, to pay the price that we could never afford to pay. And he'll act before we feel ready. Perhaps when we feel at our most inadequate. And he says, will you be my servant? Will you say yes to the task? Will you help fulfill my plans and purposes for this world today? Mary moved from how can this be to I am your servant, Lord. And that can happen for you and for me just as well. Are you feeling troubled by anything today? Let me say to you, the Lord is with you. His mercy extends to those who fear him today. Are you doubtful about who you are, what you could possibly do for God? God's promises are for you. He lifts up the humble. Or perhaps you feel powerless. Well, he will fill the hungry with good things. He is for all who are looking for more today and every day because of Jesus. I pray you'll move from trouble to trust and you'll be part of the transformation that God is doing every single day in our world. Let's pray. I wonder this morning if you know him. Do you know Jesus? Because you can know him and you can hear what he has to say to you today. So listen to him and walk each day with him. Father God, thank you that you chose Mary. You chose her in spite of her own feelings of restriction and limitation. And you did something amazing through her. Father, I pray that you will bring calm to us today. Assure us that you are with us. That you will remind us of your promises. And that you will use us for your purposes. God, do a new thing in us and through us. Give us boldness and courage to do what you call us to do. We are your servants. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, please do get in touch if you've made any of those prayers your own, if you would like us to pray for you, if you've got a story to tell us of what God is doing, we'd love to hear it and help you fulfill all that God has in store for you. So just write to us, inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk, and we'll get back to you and continue this journey. Look forward to catching up again next week as we continue this series. But God bless you. Go out in the power of His Spirit to do what He's called you to do, and be blessed.